I'm going to continue now. I put most of the accent on A, but I did B and C. I'm going to continue now that way so that you have one text and you can take what you need from it and the various cycles, A, B, and C. Since the Gospel, the other two readings are the same for all three cycles, but the Gospels follow the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And so we're starting now to look more closely at that synoptic. We've done a good part of it already. You see, the difficult thing is to try to find out why these variants, what is the difference between them? For instance, here we have his face shone like the sun. In Mark, and he was transfigured before them, you see. And in Luke, they went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. Now you see how different those three are. Now why? Well, you see, Matthew is more matter of fact. Mark is saying that he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, such as no fuller can ever do. And then there appeared, now he's transfigured, you see. And then, as in the others as well, now the Elijah and Moses appear, and they were talking to Jesus. Now, in Luke, and behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. You see, spoke of his exodus, meaning his passion. So if you're in cycle C, you might, and you're going to be reading from Luke, you might want to capitalize on that notion, his exodus. Our Lord's exodus was not just from Egypt to Israel, it was from this world to the next, because he's the new Moses, and he leads us not into another land on earth, but into an eternal union with God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, all the angels, all the blessed, they're all there. And so Luke, in putting this part, you see, spoke about his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem, you see. And again, now Luke has this notion, only Luke. Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and the two men who stood with them. And as the men were parting from him, you see, so were they awakened from their sleep, they saw Moses and Elijah, and the men left. And as they were going, Peter, and this is recorded in all three, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And one or another, they all say that. In other words, Peter, this is probably the Feast of Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles, and he wants to build temples, tabernacles, tents for them to be there. And so that's the reason for this. It's a variant, but it isn't a big one. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And then, again, only Luke, they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Neither Matthew nor Mark speak of fear, you see, but the voice. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen," in Luke. "This is my beloved Son, listen to him," in Mark. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, listen to him," you see. And so they all put a slight different accent on expressing the relation here between the Father and the Son, you see. They're all saying the same thing. I am well pleased, he's my beloved, and he's my chosen. that is that, and of course, there's a text in John, which they're mentioning here. Father, glorify the name, and a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And then the crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. That's from John 12. So there's something there. Glorify your name instead of your will be done. So this in John plays this moment of decision before the Passion narrative begins. It's in chapter 12. When we're trying to penetrate this, you see, what we're trying to do is touch the reality. Jesus is transfigured, and he's preparing himself and his disciples for the Passion. And it's recorded for us, so that when we read the Passion, we know who it is who is suffering. But not only that, when our own lives are difficult, we know that the one who is supporting us, you see, is the one whose face we see by faith. And these scriptures, which are his humanity, as the fathers say, they become full of light. We understand. So when things are difficult, and we're confronted with the suffering of the Messiah and our part in it, go to the scriptures. Let the Lord instruct you. Go to the Lord, and in any way he wants, show his face to you. To see the face of the Lord in moments of real crisis is to be strengthened, supported, and it's unforgettable. It will support us, you, through the rest of our lives. The memory of that vision of Jesus smiling, or however, you see, it will support you. Even as times get difficult now, but you know, when you're looking at this in August of 2014, where are we as a nation? What's going on? Where are we as a church? Are we being persecuted? Where are we as priests? And this feast and this reality, the transformed humanity of Jesus Christ, radiant with the light of God, is meant to support us. That's why the Lord is preparing us now. And I'm saying this in, I forgot where we are now. We're in November of 2013 as I'm doing this. But the Lord is preparing us to be strengthened and to have our own anticipated transfiguration, if need be, so that we know the one whom we follow. We know that he's in charge of the world. We know that we can bear witness. We know that we can help our people no matter what. And that's the reason why the disciples received this grace and it's being passed on to us for that reason, you see? And so as they were coming down, first, this is very interesting. So the Moses and Elijah disappear. Jesus, now this is Matthew, came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one, only Jesus. The Greek text is a little bit monon, it says there. Jesus alone. Origen, who's got this genius of a mind, Elijah and Moses are prophets in law, right? Now they've blended into one, the Messiah. They see only Jesus. That's enough. He sums up the law and the prophets. Mark says there's no longer anyone with them but Jesus only. And Luke says, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And he adds, and they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. And then the text moves on. As they were coming down the mountain, he said to them, tell no one what you've seen. But make sure it's in your heart. Make sure it's an indelible memory. Because as these next weeks unfold, you're going to need that. You're going to need that. So don't forget whom I really am, you see. And so in the preaching, you know, cycle A, it's mostly just the text, as Matthew says it, and he's redolent of allusions, as we just saw. Mark, if it's the next, you know, cycle B, he has his own, like his, no fuller could bleach the way these garments were. That's only in Mark, you see. And Elijah and Moses were talking to Jesus. And then he makes this offer. And then in Mark, he didn't know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid, and a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. Huh? Now that part is the same as Mark. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In Matthew, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They're not significant. But then, this is Luke, this is my Son, my chosen. So as you preach, you see, depending on what cycle you're in, you can pay attention, if you have, especially if you have a synopsis, and see the difference, you see. And only Luke tells us at this point that the disciples were silent after this. They didn't tell anybody about this. And on the next day when they were coming down in Luke, the others, as they were coming down the mountain, it doesn't say anything about the next day. That wouldn't be significant, I wouldn't think. Keep the matter to themselves, you see, until the Lord be risen from the dead. In other words, now they are prepared. Now, I want to go back and discuss, you see, what does all that mean? Yes, the event. But you see, we can be enlightened. And that comes about, you see, through the Scriptures, as I've already pointed out. The Scriptures are the garments of Christ. And they can be transformed, and we can see Him and see who He really is in the Scriptures, because they have that causality, you see? And they have that causality because of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Therefore, one of the things we can do as we prepare to be better preachers is to touch the Scriptures. I mean, with our hearts, with our eyes, and see Jesus become transfigured and experience the realities about which these texts are talking. That is for us the grace of the transfiguration. So that the Scriptures, you see, become full of light, as does His body at this moment. The Scriptures become full of light for us. If we pray for that, it will surely happen.